Hello, I'm Tom Weber from NPR News.
And I'm Andrea Swenson from The Current. We're teaming up to interview several Minnesota musicians this summer as part of Tom's summer music series on his show.
And for the local show on The Current that Andrea hosts.
Today, we are very honored to be joined in the studio by Cornbread Harris. He just celebrated his 90th birthday. There's a new record out now called Live at Hook and Ladder. Hi, Cornbread.
Hi there.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Let's hear a song.
Let's hear a song. Okay, I wrote this for my son, and many people have aspirations mm-hmm. for their children mm-hmm. and what they believe their children are going to become. And my son didn't become none of these things. Started on the drag strip, motorcycle hill, set a brand new record when he drove up on a hill. Right on, right on, right on, cool ride, you know you're real, real gone. Went up in a jet plane 100 miles out, when the cat got back, you should have heard the people shout. Right on, right on, right on, cool rider, you know you're real, real gone. Went up in a rocket ship with lots of smoke and dust, written on the rocket ship to the moon a bus. Right on, right on, right on, cool rider, you know you're real, real gone. Right on, 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 cool ride, you know you're real, real gone. Ah. Went up in a rocket ship 100 miles out. When he got back, I heard the bird the people shout. Right on, right on, right on, cool rider, you know you're real, real gone. Right on, 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 cool rider, you know you're real, real. Yes, you are. Right on. Right on, right on, right on, right on, right on, right on, right on. Mm-hmm.
Cornbread Harris in Studio M. Is that song called Ride On or Ride On Cool Rider?
Cool Rider, Ride On Cool Rider.
Fantastic.
You're 90. You don't play like you're a day over 89.
Thank you. Oh, I'm a couple days over that. Yes. So, yeah, you're a little bit behind.
I'm a little
okay. I don't think you'll ever catch up either.
How are you doing? You were in the hospital recently.
Oh, my goodness. A week ago yesterday, I was called away from my house in the ambulance.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they said, hurry up with this guy, you know, and the light went on.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And the guy was fumbling over me, and he's sticking tubes up my nose and stuff, you know. And Mr. Harris, Mr. Harris, I said, what do you want? I'm not going nowhere, you know. But anyway, they took me to the emergency. And they rushed me into the room, and right away, the specialist came in. And the specialist, that's a special group of people. They only know one thing in their whole life. They got this machine that they run. And, okay, so this is the so-and-so scope, and this is the so-and-so scope, and this is so-and-so. And so They ran me through about three of those machines, and each one knew better than the other person, you know, because their machine tells them more than this other guy's machine does. So when they got through doing that, they put Wheel Weave off into the room, silence, nothing. Didn't hear nothing from anybody. They said, what in the world's going on here? They've deserted me. And so they came in with the needle right away.
Oh, boy.
Kaboom in the stomach, you know. Oh, what are you guys doing? Said, well, this is a certain thing, you know, but it's going to make you feel better. Well, it's a shame that something that's going to make you feel better hurts you so much on the way in, you know. But anyway.
This is the funniest story about a pulmonary embolism I've ever heard.
That's the name of the thing. I'm in a good place where these people know something. Okay. So the pulmonary
embolism
mm-hmm. could be slowed down or stopped or whatever by this shot.
Sure.
And then they called the name of it, which was ridiculous, and gave my wife a great big old box of things, needles to stick in me.
Wow.
In fact, I delayed my action today. I'm sure glad Mr. Chris Mozina came by early.
Yeah.
Because my wife said, well, he can't go now. I'm giving him a shot. So he said, well, I'm going to go get some coffee and come back. So he went and got some coffee. I got my shot. He came back and sat and waited patiently for me.
Aww.
And then after we got here, he said, don't worry about it, Cornbread. We're on time.
Yeah.
I've been worried the whole time. Like, look at, I'm holding up the guy and everything. How am I going to get to this wonderful station that people have invited me to?
Well, Cornbread, the thing that blows my mind is that you were just hospitalized, but you're already back in action playing at the Loring Pasta Bar a few days later.
Oh, okay. So I was in the hospital Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I believe Tuesday night I was going to sign myself out.
Make a break for it?
Yeah. And I think I had convinced him by Tuesday night.
You know, you're allowed to take some time off when you have a blood clot in your lung. I think that's the point we're trying to make here. But it's fine if you don't, because we're glad you're here.
Okay, I survived that. And like I said, I played Friday. And it was so nice because people who had heard public radio and public television came out. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason they came out.
Mm.
We heard you on our device here that we watch or listen to.
Yes. Sure.
And so I had a nice little group of people there.
That's great.
So the management said, wow, this guy even draws on the days when we're not supposed to hardly have nobody. So it's just one of the things I like to tell people, and I don't want to go into my deacon thing here, but I guess I got to do it. God is so good to me that he would bring me from last Sunday through Saturday, through this Sunday, and over here.
Right.
It's just, okay. That might be the end of the sermon, but it probably won't. No, but anyway.
Cornbread, I was thinking about how long you've been making music here in Minnesota. You participated in the first rock and roll song to ever come out of the state.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
back in 1955. Goodness. Is it true that you co-wrote Hi Ho Silver with Augie Garcia?
Yeah. Where you get that from? The research team here is amazing. Oh, okay. Yes, that's very true.
What do you remember about that?
I think about that often. I'm going along with Augie on the set, right? And I'm gonna. I told you I could play this one song, right?
Yeah.
You thought that was the wrong note? I know what I was doing. So this is what I was doing this with the band. Going to Chicago. Sorry that I can't take you. Going to Chicago. Sorry that I can't take you. Cause there ain't nothing in Chicago that a monkey woman like you can do. So several choruses in, Augie takes over the thing because he's the leader of the group. And I'm in the background doing my thing. And he comes in talking about 6 more months, we're going on the road, baby, to my song. He's just murdering my song. 6 more months, we're going on the road, baby. Don't ask me where I'm going, baby, cause I don't know, baby. Don't know, baby. And then I hired this saxophone player, Willie Brown. Whatever. And then we're going to be singing. What are we going to be singing, Augie? Well, we're going to be like the Lone Ranger. And then they went into William Tell Overture. Oh, Kemosabe? No. Get him up, Scout? No. Well, what you gonna be singing, Augie? You're gonna sing what? You're singing hi-ho, hi-ho, silver, 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 way. Big hit. Singing hi-ho, hi-ho, silver, 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 away. Yeah, so hi-ho, silver.
Yeah.
He ruined my song. Going to Chicago, and next thing we've got this rock and roll beat going back there because the drummer was fabulous.
Mm.
Oh, man. Yeah, I suppose you got his name on your on your sheet, too.
I don't know. I think, Cornbread, we're done. You're the new host of the show. Because I'm done. I don't need to be here. You.
It's a one-man show.
And you host.
Just every day.
Yeah, every day. I'm heading
and you
out.
You give me the research papers and I just.
Yeah, yep. You yep. Just do your thing. Yeah. I think that'd be way better.
Yeah.
What an incredible opportunity to be in the studio hearing Cornbread Harris play the first rock and roll song to ever come out of this state. And what is it, 62 years later?
Yeah.
Still going strong. What an incredible gift you're giving us right now. Thank you.
Oh, goodness.
When did you start? How old were you?
Okay. My grandparents thought that I should have some culture. So by this time, I'm like 17 or 18. 16 years old, going to St. Bernard's School out of Rice Street in St. Paul,
mm-hmm.
and Mechanic Arts downtown St. Yeah. Paul, and they even sent me off to Creighton, the military school. I went to Washington High right in the neighborhood. But they thought I should take music, and I didn't think so. So I skipped my music lessons, bought candy and ice cream for my friends with the money. It worked pretty good for almost a month. And then the teacher called the house and said, "Where's Jimmy?" That's my James is my name.
Yeah.
And the teacher told my grandmother that Jimmy is not at his lesson. What? No, and he hasn't been here for a few weeks. What? Okay. I came home. I still had some change that I had to hide, you know, because I couldn't spend up that money, all of it. My friends were full of ice cream and stuff. Everybody had a bag of potato chips. So I got the money hid. And while she's talking to me, you know, she's, well, how did it go? I said, oh, you know, I told a lie right there. Boom.
Sure.
As quick as you could get my mouth open. I said, oh, it's going pretty good, except the teacher's very strict. And she's got this song that I got to play a little bit better. Long, long ago.
Well, that sounds pretty different from the music you've been playing today.
Well, you know, I've advanced, you know, just a smidgen.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. But so I had that song down pretty good, but I fumbled and stumbled, you know, in front of my grandma about, yeah, she wants the song better than that, you know.
But she gave you the what for, didn't she?
Oh, she just give me the little runaround thing, see? Well, my granddad was a railroad man, and he wasn't a Pullman porter or any of that. He was a one that says all aboard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like a conductor.
Conductor.
Yeah.
You know? And the reason he was a conductor that he got by with it, he was mulatto. So he didn't look Negro.
Mm.
So he got by being a white person, and got the good job. But he would go out on the road a few weeks, a few days, and come home and go out on, you know, whatever train he was supposed to conduct. And my grandmother said, I'm going to tell your granddad. He was a disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't tell him for a couple of weeks. So a couple of weeks, my granddad said, your grandma told me what you've been up to, and you're going to get a whipping. Now, can you imagine? You got this looking over your head, and you're trying to make your life every day. You're going to get a whipping.
Mm-hmm.
You get up in the morning, you're going to get a whipping. You go to bed at night, you're going to get a whipping. So we went out on the road a few times. So one of the second or third time he came in off the road, he said, come on down the basement. So I went down the basement. He went in the bathroom upstairs and got the razor strap, which you hone the razors, make them good and sharp so that you didn't cut yourself. Now, I never did figure that out. The sharper the razor, the less chance you got of cutting yourself. But anyway, so they brought the razor strap down and wore me out.
Mm.
He said, better you get a whipping here than to end up in the jailhouse. That was their thought then.
There was a point after you faked the first lessons or so, but there had to be a point where you started to like it, right? I mean, you're doing it decades later. What was it about the piano that just said, okay, I'm going to stay
about the
with
piano?
This?
The piano was my third choice. I was born bow-legged and pigeon-toed, crippled. And I was in Cook County Hospital for I don't know how many years. When I ended up in St. Paul, after being in many foster homes with my grandparents at 1144 Hand Avenue, it's called Virginia now, and I was going to Gillette Hospital in St. Paul, getting my leg broke, having them in a cast, and then see how I came out after the cast was taken off. I got pictures. If I send them to your station and you broadcast them, you could get a big fundraiser going. I really look bad, boy. But they, I would then after that, after they said, oh, that looks pretty straight. And I was only still only slightly pigeon-toed by that time. And they said, okay, that's enough of that. Went to physical therapy. And they got me so I could walk. Now, this was a great thing. People walk every day like it ain't no big deal. But I realized what a blessing it is to be able to walk. So I did okay. So I wanted to be an athlete then. Mm-hmm. I can walk. Okay, pretty soon I could jog a little bit. And then pretty soon I could run a little bit. So I got on the track team, B squad. I got on the baseball team, B squad. I got on the football team, B squad. You know, I never made it to the A team, but I was so happy that I was able to be on any kind of team at all.
Yeah.
Where these other people were taking it for granted, you know. Oh, this quarterback could, and this linebacker could step off and hit somebody and go back over here. But I am, you know, feeling so blessed. And I keep saying this, oh, I'm back to my ministry.
That's okay. Deacon Cornbread.
No. So anyway, I did that, pole vault, high jump, you know, hop, skip, and jump, and all that fun stuff, which was cool. So I made it to high school except for the last 4 weeks or 5 weeks or whatever. And I went into the service. Mm. And then I didn't think I was going to go because of my, you know, not being able to make any kind of team except B-Squad. And then they bucked me up some more, so pack on my back. Infantry, U.S. Army, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I got pretty tough then. Okay, so miles and miles with a backpack. So that's another blessing. They throw the name of everybody in the camp, they, you know, enlistees and stuff, in a big old barrel and pull the names out.
Mm.
And whatever names they pull out, you're gone, baby. Out of all year and a half of pulling names out of that barrel, my name never came out.
Mm. To go to what, World War II?
World War II.
Yeah.
My name never came out of that barrel. And, of course, now by this time they have trained me to be a killer, you know, and I'm an expert marksman. You know, I need to put some bullets in somebody. And I didn't get to do it, and they had psyched me out so bad, I felt bad about that.
Mm.
This is so that you, when they come back with this syndrome, I mean, they have educated you to be a killer. And you're doing it for all the right reasons. Defending your country, you know, making it better for your family. You're doing all this. That's why you're killing this other guy over here.
Right.
So I felt pretty bad, you know. So when they asked me to re-up, and I had gone to military school and stuff, so they said, if you re-up, I'll make you a corporal. I said, no thanks. Mm. No thank you.
Mm.
And so before I got into this re-up thing, I was a truck driver, an MP, since I was good with firearms. And I used to go to pick up troops at the station. Man, another hallelujah, thank you, God, that my name didn't come out of that pail.
Wow.
People have come back from there with their plates in their head,
yeah,
arms and legs gone, and minds just completely washed away. Man, I'm thinking, I could have been one of these people here.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you talk about thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And so I played music in the day room for the soldiers. Let's see.
And I know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, my goodness, you played a piano. Oh, yeah. So I couldn't play none of their songs well, but it's surprising. And I found this out also after I got bitter, and I went to Smith's Music and bought a chord book and studied chords. Oh, man, then I got really dangerous. Okay, so I'm playing out to a golf club where this guy, a fabulous piano player, had been playing, right? And I thought, oh, my God, what am I doing out here with this guy after him playing? And somebody came up to me and said, can you play Bonaparte's Retreat? I said, what? I said, Bonaparte's Retreat. Like, he knows the song, and he loves the song and the whole thing. And I said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. So I got a bunch of music that I carry. I had this one book, 1,000 Songs, and the song was in there. And so I turned to the page, right? So I'm trying to play my regular stuff. I'm playing my usual stuff, right? So I'm watching the page a little bit. The guy comes up there and starts patting me on the back and hugging me and put $50 in the tip jar.
Wow.
Well, and that really woke me up that I don't care how bad you play, if you do try to play the person's request, and if you stumble through it quite good or not so good, they appreciate it very, very much. So yeah. I don't have to be a Stradivinsky or somebody as long as I can stumble through these people's songs.
Do you think that helped you to develop your own style, though, having to learn all these different kinds of songs that people wanted to hear?
Well, after I got my chord thing in my brain, then I started buying music books. I said, okay, what's this song? What's the name of that? Nobody knows.
Pop quiz.
Huh?
Well, you work for The Current, Andrea. You
should
know.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You work for the music station.
No, the music side, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, when the Saints go marching in.
Oh, was it?
Oh,
really?
See, that when you mess it up like that, nobody knows what you do. That's all right. And so that's all there is to it. All a song is a melody and accompaniment. That's all it is. So this gives, like, guitar players a big advantage over the rest of the music world.
Yeah.
If you can comp, what they call it, chords, you can, man, if you know the melody, and then you say, what chord would fit here? What
right.
chord would fit here? What chord would fit here? And you start flipping those chords in there, and then, whoa, and then you got here. Thank you. my goodness.
Yeah. That's gorgeous.
I get carried away. I'm sorry.
Can you tell us how you got your name, Cornbread?
Okay. So I'm going along with my group, Huckleberry Finn, Cornbread and Friends. Four Seasons, I think the nightclub was called. Northeast Minneapolis. And at the time, it was very pretty in the area. But I had a Negro guitar player, a Negro drummer, and myself, trio. And my guitar player was Vernon Coffey, tremendous guitar player. And that always helps, to surround yourself with top-quality musicians. Mm-hmm. If you can't play but two notes, it's all right, because you play them two notes, they will make you sound good. And then what was so killing then, they enjoyed bolstering me up. They enjoyed bolstering me up. And so they put me at the head of the thing, and they played all the music. But then, of course, my chords started to fit in to what they were doing, and they started fitting themselves into what I was doing. And so I ended up with Cornbread and Friends.
Okay, so you got to be the star.
Yeah, I got to be myself and the star. So every band I would get in after that, I'm Star Cornbread, you know. So I wrote the song called Cornbread. And I asked the people in the audience to please put in your earplugs, because this is rock and roll at its finest. And I don't want you to, you know, get busted eardrums or anything. So I want to protect you from me.
Got it.
We're ready.
Yeah. I don't know how the engineer's going to get by with this here, but... Then I yell, right? Okay, I'm gonna yell, sound person. Cornbread! Every morning! Cornbread! Every night! Cornbread in the forenoon, everything will be all right. Say it's cornbread. Say cornbread. Cornbread. I love the good cornbread. Collard greens and cornbread. Chitlins and cornbread. Oxtails and cornbread. Hog maws and cornbread. And so I name a whole bunch of foods, see? Like that, see? And then I go to religions. Catholic folks eat cornbread. Lutheran folks eat cornbread. Presbyterians eat cornbread. Okay, go to a bunch of religions. And then I go to what kind of jobs people have. Cab drivers like cornbread. Bartenders like cornbread. We go long list of songs. And then I go, got a girl named Boney Maroney. Eats cornbread every Sunday. Cornbread. 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 I love the good cornbread. Scooby-dooby-dooby-scooby-you-bop. Scooby-dooby-dooby-scooby-you-bop. Scooby-doo, Scooby-doo, Scooby-doo. Scooby-doo, Scooby-doo, Scooby-doo. Scooby-dooby-dooby-scooby-you-bop. Scooby-dooby-dooby-dooby. Cornbread! Yeah, cornbread, baby. Cornbread. dooby dooby screw you, Bob. Scooby dooby dooby screw you, Bob. Scooby doo, Scooby doo, Scooby doo. Scooby doo, Scooby doo, Scooby doo. Scooby dooby dooby screw you, Bob. Scooby dooby dooby screw you, Bob. Said Corn. Yes, how come the Corbett?
My goodness.
Wow. That was amazing.
So neither of us have ever had a pulmonary embolism.
You haven't. Maybe you need to get one. So you can...
I don't think I could sing like that.
And we couldn't hold a note like that.
Oh. So then after I do that one on my recording, then I go up an octave and hold a note.
Wow.
Wow.
Incredible.
Oh.
We are in the studio right now with Cornbread Harris. The new record is called Live at the Hook and Ladder. Cornbread also just celebrated his 90th birthday. My name is Andrea Swenson, host of the local show On the Current here with Tom Weber.
That's right. And the news side of things, this is part of our summer music series. And we are, I don't think we need to be here right now, Andrea, because Cornbread can take this on himself.
Oh.
You know, you, one of the many interesting things about you is that you are the father of a man people know here in the music world of Jimmy Jam.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Jam. That's right. Earlier, I did...
Cool Rider?
Cool Rider.
That's
was
right.
Was that for him?
That's for him and about him. You know, and he didn't, like I say, he didn't turn out to be any of those things. He turned out to be a musician.
That's right.
And a publisher and a writer.
Right.
You know, and of course a band leader with his friend Terry Lewis.
Right.
Yeah.
They were with the time, and then they went off and worked with Janet Jackson and Mariah Carey and all of them. So was that a conscious decision? Like, hey, Jimmy Jam, or I guess he wasn't Jimmy Jam at the time.
He called his own self that.
Did he?
He named his own self that. He wrote it on his baseball bats and stuff.
Oh.
And so that's what he ended up calling himself.
Did you try to pass on the music, though, or did it just happen?
Oh, well, I taught him. I taught him that.
And he took it and ran.
He took it and ran, him and his buddy, Terry. Terry was a bass player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and they, between the two of them, and Jimmy was a drummer before that. He could pick up sticks and keep a good rhythm. And the last song we played together was Dock of the Bay.
Oh,
him
that's
and
nice.
I.
Uh-huh.
A Legion over on Broadway, North Minneapolis.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll always remember that one. And from there on, he went to Mind and Matter, Flight Time, and then Time. And then because he went out with Prince.
Right.
And led the band Prince's group in.
Yeah, right.
The Revolution and all that bunch. And they got along quite well. They went on the road twice. And then, of course, Prince became, like, way out of proportion, blew up there. And he ended up firing Jimmy and them guys, you know, like, hey, you guys are holding me back.
Oh, I think that speaks to Jimmy's talent, though, that Prince was threatened, But
they couldn't hold him back, but they had to segue onto a different road.
Right.
Because this road belonged to Prince.
Yeah. Right.
You know. So if you want to do anything, you got to go down this other road over here, and which he did. And he mentored many people in the music business, and the one that got quite advertised was the Janet Jackson thing.
Right.
And once Janet came out with him and highly touting him and her, him highly touting her, Mutual Admiration Society.
Right.
That's right.
They had it going on, you know. And she was driving his Jeep around town and stuff. But anyway, Mike, I can't think of all of my hardships ended up to be blessings.
Mm.
And, you know, I could complain about this or complain about, oh, they had to haul me off into the ambulance. Well, that was a week ago. Shoot, later for that foolishness. I mean, this week I am here.
Yeah.
In rare form.
Yes,
I agree.
I agree with you completely. That's the best thing you've said all day.
I'm writing a sign. I'm writing a song. There ain't no stopping me now.
That's appropriate.
Yeah, and I think I've got the tracings of it on a couple of CDs back.
Okay.
But I want to embellish it and really push it. Okay, and I start out with, okay, you guys don't steal my copyright.
All right. Are you going to do the song here, real time?
Well, I can say a few words.
Yeah.
I've been mixed in the batter. No choice in the matter. I'm the cream of the crop. And like the cream, I'm going to rise to the top. And then I went on to say, like my hardships, through those hardships that strengthened me, mm-hmm. made me stronger, made me able to get along in places that other people said, you can't go there, you can't do this. That was a challenge right there. So don't tell me what cornbread can't do now.
I wouldn't dare.
Yeah, the crop going to rise to the top.
Well, I've never had someone storyboard a song in front of me during an interview, so I appreciate
storyboard.
That.
Oh,
that's what you're doing. You're
working
brainstorming it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Usually, people come in here, the song's ready to go, but no, you're still.
I'm
love that.
I'm working on more tunes all the time.
I love that.
Even if I got one that's already in the can, I can, you know, work on it and bring it back out more. So.
You did one before we started recording that I'd love you to play again. It's called Put the World Back Together.
Oh.
Will you do that for us?
Yeah. I started out naturally. Haven't we had enough debate? Did I hear someone say, let's wait? Why don't we get together? Before it's too late to put the world back together. Put the world back together. Put the world back together again. Right in the country. Sounds insane. Smell your polluted water. Feel your acid rain. Cut down your forest, why don't you? Plant them back again, I said. Put the world back together. Put the world back together. Put the world back together again. Politicians are talking fear and hate. Or someone say, let's have a war. Blow them all away. That's stupid. Can't you hear me when I say, put the world back together, put the world back together, put the world back together again. Oh. Put the world back together, put the world back together, put the world back together again. Back together again.
Unreal, man.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. So that would go along with my ministerial thing to tell the people, look, you guys got to look out for this world. You can't just keep polluting it and destroying it. You got to look out for your neighbors. You can't just be running over folks trying to get ahead of everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
Cornbread.
Yes, sir.
We've come to an end.
Come to a what?
Well, come to this end for this conversation.
Although this could go for hours, I think.
Oh.
We would love to just have you come back every day.
Are you going to play one more song for us?
Oh, yeah. I like to play a talking song. Talking. I'm running my mouth. Oh, this is my blues type song, where, you know, you get heartbroken and mistreated and all that stuff. And this was the chord progression I played earlier. Point of attack is behind the back. Treat him any way that you choose. Take a little time off. Don't hurry back. You haven't got a damn thing to lose. Eat at his table, your children and you. You know he's very, very able and he wants to do for you. Go ahead and hurt him. You know you got it made. But you can always ask him, how you doing, babe? Never, never tell him the way that you feel. Please don't tell him that your love is not real. Promise to love him until the end. And when you cut out what I tell you, ask him, can't we still be friends? Change your mind. Apologize. Tell him you did not realize. Put him through some changes. Make him pay his dues. You find out he really loves you. Teach him the deeper blues.
Cornbread Harris live here in the studio. I'm Andrea Swenson here with Tom Weber. We're co-hosting a series of interviews this summer, Tom's Summer Music Series.
That's right, your local show. And Cornbread, I'm not exactly sure what just happened over this last hour, but I feel like my life's different, and I want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Cornbread.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I've enjoyed myself tremendously. So what are we going to do for the next hour now?
Fair question.
We'll keep it going off air.
Okay.
Don't forget, you can check out Cornbread and Friends live at Hook and Ladder. The new CD is out now. And happy birthday as well to Cornbread, who just turned 90.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, of the viewing, of the listening, of the whoever audience. I enjoyed you, and I hope you enjoyed me. Amen.